Today I want to talk about the love of God, as already mentioned from our scripture reading there out of Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. We invite you to follow along with the sermon outline that was given you in your Sunday talk as you came in there on page 3. Valentine's Day is coming up this Saturday, and so we want to remember that, a day which we set aside in this country and other places in the world, that we might once again show our love and appreciation for those that are in our lives, and always a very special time. And so I thought, with that kindly on our minds, it would be good to have a lesson on the love of God, and so hence the reason for this particular lesson this morning. We want to invite you back tonight, as we'll be here at 6 o'clock, Lord willing, to share another time of worship. And tonight I want to talk about faith, Moses' faith, specifically there is talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. So we invite you this evening for that particular message out of Hebrews 11. I have read through the Bible several times in my life, and one of the things that's always amazed me each time that I read through the Scriptures is that each time I draw something a little bit different. I see another little aspect or avenue of God in that reading that maybe I didn't see before. One of the previous times that I've read through the Bible was that I saw basically the theme of the lesson today that's brought out, of course, amply within the New Testament, but it just rang home like it never rang home before, and that is that God is the greatest of all lovers. Truly, when we think about God, we can think about many things, and we have various mental concepts, I'm sure, of God, the many sides of God, being judge and provider and creator. But this morning I want to focus in on that I have gleaned from my reading, and I hope you have too, that God is the greatest lover of all time. He is definitely the hero of the Old Testament. As far as I'm concerned, he's the hero of the whole Bible. But he is the one who is undying love and undying care for mankind that makes our salvation possible. Even when mankind does not show their love or appreciation for God in return, God continues to love his people. God continues to love mankind. And that's the main gist of our lesson today. We know passages such as John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We go on there in verse 17, it says, God did not condemn the world, for the world already stood condemned. And one of the interesting things that I put between those two verses is that God loves a condemned world. That's right. God loved us even in our sinful ways. God loved us even when we were not faithful to him, didn't care anything about him. God still loved us. He loved everybody. Still does that way. Loved us so much, standing condemned in our sin, that he sent Jesus Christ to die for us. What a fabulous concept that is. What a great love that is. If you're anything like me, and in this way I hope you're not, that sometimes when we're hurt and spurned by other people and lied to or betrayed or whatever, we get upset and we get angry and we say, and our love for those people that are hurting us, you know, diminishes. Well, that's our humanness coming out in us. But God didn't treat us that way. Truly, we had sinned against him and we had lied and betrayed him, and he continues to love us anyway. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, Paul writes, "Now abide these three, faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love." Truly, when we think of God, we can term him just that, as love. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8, John simply says, God is love. Now, God is a whole lot more than that, but if there's one characteristic of God that we need to make sure that we understand, and that is God loves us. God cares for us. God wants the very best for us. And so let's take a look in detail this morning here at Romans chapter 8, verses 35 down through verse 39, and take a look at all the wonderful things about God's love in spite of what's happening to us. And that's the way I like to view this particular text. Paul here is going to mention some things that are going on in your life and going on in my life that have been going on in the world for centuries. And sometimes we get confused by life and we think, well, I'm dealing with this and I've got that problem and I've got this situation going on, and I guess because of that, God doesn't love me anymore. I'm here today to erase that kind of thought, if that's ever gone through your mind, that no matter what's going on in your life, how bad, how hideous, and my heart goes out to you if you're going through struggles. We're probably all going through some kind of struggle all the time. Let's remember God still loves us despite what we might be going through. Look now at verse 35 again, as Brother Jim read for us a moment ago. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And now he begins with that statement, a rhetorical question, of course, that no one's going to separate us. There's nothing that can happen. No person could do anything to you, including the devil himself, that would separate you from the fact that God loves you and loves you through Christ. Now, sometimes we throw some things out there, and Paul does too, that say, well, you know, if I had to go through this, and if that was going on in my life, then I don't think God would love me. And by way of example, and by way of illustrating the fact that there's no one that can separate us, nothing can separate us from the love of God that's in Christ, he lists these things. Now look in verse 35. He says, first of all, shall tribulation. If you're filling in the blanks on your sermon outline, that means pain and suffering. Pain and suffering. I don't enjoy pain. I'm thankful of the medicines that we have today that alleviate a lot of our pain and suffering. That sometimes they don't. Sometimes they make a big difference. But sometimes pain and suffering is not all physical. Sometimes it's mental. We'll get into that here in just a little bit. But you may suffer physical pain every day of your life. You may have some degenerative situation. You may be recovering from a surgery. You may just have something going on in your life that's not curable, and you suffer pain. And I'm sorry for that. If that's true, my heart goes out for you, because I don't like to be in pain. I don't like to see anybody else in pain. There are people that you probably know that are suffering because of physical pain. And it's horrible. It's awful. And we just wish it would go away, and we pray that it'll go away. Have you ever been in pain to the point in your life you've just kind of doubted if God's really there? You're just suffering, and your physical body hurts in such a way that you just kind of wonder in the back of your mind, I think God just left me. I think God has decided he's just going to withdraw his love from me, because if he loved me, why would he allow me to go through such pain, such tribulation? The Apostle Paul tells us, as difficult as it might be to work through that physical pain, God still loves you. Don't ever get confused with physical pain or allow physical pain to get you to think that, well, because of that, God doesn't love me anymore. Yes, he does. And hopefully what you'll find there is you'll find some comfort in that to help you deal with that pain. The second thing that he mentions here is distress. And to me, this is deep anguish, point number two there, if you're filling in the blanks. In your life, have you ever had deep anguish? Just depressed, discouraged. You're just at the bottom mentally. Life just hands you a bunch of curveballs. You can't handle any one of them. And you seem like you're striking out, to use a baseball metaphor here. And life is just mentally difficult. Winter affects many people that way. They call it the seasonal something disorder and affective disorder, seasonal affective disorder. I like that because the initials of that are SAD, sad. That's usually what you are when you got that. Yeah. People are depressed and they're just at their wit's end and they don't know what to do, and maybe they're angry and they're just at the bottom. And when you've ever been there, you tend to think in your mind, well, where's God in all of this? Does God really care? Because I'm really hurting here, and I don't know what to do, and I can't find any answers, and it seems like all the news is in my life is bad news. You ever been in deep anguish? You ever been in distress? Yeah, we've been there. But let me assure you from this text that God still loves you. It can't get so bad that God doesn't love you. Now, we may not understand why God is allowing us to go through that valley and why he is permitting that kind of deep anguish at this point in our life, but the fact remains, while we may not understand it, God still loves us. He's the greatest lover of all time. So if you're going through a period of that time in your life right now that you're depressed and discouraged and in anguish, remember the fact, as difficult as it might be at this particular time, that God still loves you. Number three, persecution is listed by the apostle here. And of course, that means external trouble. External trouble. Some of you work in a very non-Christian environment. Where you are in your jobs, there are people who do not share your like common faith. They do not appreciate the Bible. They do not obey Jesus Christ as Lord. And you know all of that all too well. And sometimes in the workplace where you need encouragement because of other things going on in your life, you know that that's a spot that you're not going to find. In fact, the matter is you may find just the opposite. Where you need some encouragement to hang in there and be faithful, you're not going to find it from the areas of the world that you find yourself in. You're going to find some external trouble. We should not think it a strange thing that we are persecuted for our faith. I mean, that's what the testimony of Scripture is. But I've found even with that, sometimes it doesn't help. The pain is still there when people mock me and make fun of me and mock you, make fun of you, and give you that external problem that you just don't need on top of everything else. Let me assure you this morning that God still loves you. Even though that may be going on in your life and there may be problems that you are completely out of your control and a situation that you cannot change because of those about you, and jobs are hard enough to find as it is, and you're going to have to hang in there with the one you got. It's all right. God still loves you. No matter if you have tribulation, no matter if you have distress, no matter if you have persecution. What about the fourth one there? Famine. Famine, yeah, hunger. That's what it means, just being hungry or not having enough. Yeah. Famine is not something that is very prevalent in our country. I know we have our homeless. I know we have those that do not have enough to eat, and that's a sad thing. But I think you agree with me that the vast majority of our people in this country are not affected by famine. They're not affected by hunger. We are well fed. That's not true everywhere in the world. There are millions who wake up each day with an empty stomach and may not get it filled as often as we do. Truly, famine is very real to them. Hunger is very real to them. And if you've ever been hungry, if something has happened to where you've had to skip a meal or two, and you know how deep and how painful that can feel. We don't like that feeling. You know, generally, we want to snack all day long because we just don't want that hungry feeling. It's not a pleasant feeling. And to think that you have to live with that day in and day out is just something that we don't really want to think about, and we should be very grateful that for the most of us here, if not all of us here this morning, we don't have to think about that. But as painful as hunger is, the internal drive for that body to be fed, and as hard as that is, sometimes people who are hungry have figured, well, God just doesn't care about me. If God cared about me, He'd put food on my table. He would put food in my stomach. And for whatever reason, God allows people to go hungry in this world. But one thing I know from Scripture, and I want you to remember, is that even though it's a tragedy that people don't have enough to eat, God still loves them. And if you're here this morning and you don't have enough to eat, by all means tell me, and we can help you. But also realize, as in the theme of our lesson, God still loves you. He's not using that famine necessarily, that hunger, as discipline. Oh, He might be, but that doesn't change the fact He loves you. You know, the fact is, if God was using hunger to discipline you, that's an illustration that He really does love you. Because the Hebrew writer said over there in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 10 and 11, it is the wise and loving Father who disciplines His children. And we should not think discipline as being a bad thing, but rather produces a harvest of righteousness to those who've trained up by it. And so if God is using one of these things to discipline you, it is not the fact He doesn't love you. It's just the opposite. He loves you that much. To discipline you some way that you might straighten up and live for Him. And He wants you to do that because He loves you. Wow. Well, the fifth thing that He mentions here in this list is nakedness. I don't want to make that akin, and you can put in your blank there, poverty. Not having enough of anything. Some people have enough to eat, but don't have enough to pay their bills. They live in substandardized housing, don't have good transportation. Forget life insurance, forget health care. Forget a lot of these freebies, not necessarily freebies, but extra blessings that a lot of times we take for granted. They're naked. They're living in poverty. they have barely enough to meet the elemental things of life. And again, my point is the same, that sometimes when that happens, that, you know, you lose your job, you know, don't have the income you once did, things aren't going as well, maybe you had to give up a highfalutin a car and go down to a lower price car or home or whatever it might be, and it's almost like poverty. You've had to take that step down economically. Remember that God still loves you. He's still there. Now, again, I don't always understand why He allows these things to happen and why He might allow them to happen in your life, but I know He's God and I know He does the right thing, and I know He still loves you. Never allow those kinds of things, such as nakedness or poverty, if it happens into your life, to confuse you and let the devil tempt you in thinking that God doesn't love you anymore. God loves you. He's always loved you. He always will. Well, Paul's list isn't over yet. He says peril here, and this is danger or risk. Danger or risk. And again, this is one of these things that maybe in our country is not as prevalent as it is other places in the world, but I guarantee you there's those places we call hotspots in the world that you're taking your life in your own hands if you walk out to your front door. You don't know if you're going to come home that night. You think you're going to go to work and come home and see your family, and you just might not. There might be a roadside bomb, a shelling, a gunfire, whatever it might be. You might get robbed, you might get beaten. There's unfortunately very dangerous places like that in the world. And sometimes people face tremendous danger, tremendous risk, i.e. peril, danger and risk. And sometimes people can get very discouraged. That gets old in a hurry, doesn't it, to have that. God still loves them. God still wants the best for them, even though they live in that kind of society. And finally, then there's sword or war. War is awful. War doesn't work. But even the Lord said there will always be wars and rumors of wars, Matthew chapter 24. And truly there have been people that even told me, he said, you know, when I thought we got out of Vietnam, that we'd had the sense that we'd never go to war again. And look, here we are. And I went right back to Matthew 24. And I said, I know, I don't like war either, but that's just going to be life. It's no fun. And we lose our sons and our daughters at war, and while I appreciate the defense that our troops give us against terrorism and those that would harm us, that we'd have to all agree war is no good. But even in the midst of that, Paul says, that's not going to separate you from the love of God. God will love us, even if we're at war. When people are struggling with calamity and need somebody to turn to God. Because even through all of these things, there might be people in your life that give up and say, I'm not going to, oh man, they got more problems I can shake a stick at. They got more problems I can handle. And they won't serve you anymore, and they won't love you anymore, but God will. You know, when the going gets tough, the old saying is, the tough get going. And when the going gets tough, sometimes we find out who's tough and who isn't. And when these seven things hit, sometimes we end up running into the situation, we find out who's really strong and who really isn't, who our friends really are. And sometimes that hurts as well because people give up on us. God won't give up. God will continue to love you. He will still be there. As we go on down then to verses 36 and 37, Paul says, for thy sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who has loved us. You know, one thing that I haven't talked about in this particular list is the fact that we have to endure some of these and temptation as well. The devil's still out there busy. He's out there like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He wants to snatch us back from the Lord and put us back on His side, and he's tempting us to sin, enticing us to sin. We are as sheep to be slaughtered all day long. He has open rein, if you will. But the great thought here is that God loves us, and if we'll be faithful to Him, we can overwhelmingly conquer. You know, physical death is something we don't like to talk about. It's a morbid subject, of course, so that goes without saying, but it's not something that it's always a popular thing. But you know, if you're dead to the world, being delivered over as a sheep to the slaughter is not such a bad thing, because there's nothing in the world that you really want to hang on to. You know why a lot of people fear death? You know why a lot of people are just scared to death of death? Because they're still in love with the world. Yeah. Now, I know we don't want to leave our loved ones and our family and our brethren. I understand that, but I think you know what I'm talking about. We're too in love with our money. We're too in love with our things. We're too in love with our games. We're too in love with our movies or whatever it might be. We're just too in love with the world. And so the thought of death is just, ooh, I got to give all that up. But you know what? If we do what Paul talked about over there and Bill mentioned in his prayer, seek those things that are above, if we be dead to the world, death's not such a bad thing. I'm dead to the world. I don't care why I stay here anyway. I'm going to go somewhere better. There's nothing here I love anymore than Jesus and God, so I'll be glad to give up the world. And being delivered as a sheep to the slaughter is not necessarily a bad thing. If you're a person that fears death, well, okay, I am too. It's not something I talked about a lot. But if we're dead to the things of the world, I think death is that wonderful release and that wonderful gift that we can just say goodbye, old cold, cruel world. I'm going to be with the Lord. And being delivered over as a sheep to the slaughter says, yeah, we are more than conquerors through Him who what? Loved us. Yeah. Because God loved us, because He sent Jesus, because Jesus died on the cross, then we're dead to this old world. And truly, we're ready to go to that better place that death will bring us to. Lastly this morning, as you follow along here in Romans 8 and on the outline, let's talk about some tangible things that we worry about. And we need not worry about, because why? God loves us. Yeah, God loves us. And that's the point this morning. Paul says in verse 38, I am convinced. The question to Greg is Greg convinced? The question to you is, are you convinced? I hope so. Or do we still need some convincing? I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, or any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look at this list just for a few minutes and we'll wrap it up. Death. Yeah, we worry about death. But why? Why, when we have the great love of God? Why, when we have the great assurance of the Scriptures about life after death and going to the paradise realm and on to the eternal heaven? He says, not neither death nor life. Sometimes we just worry about life. We worry about this, we worry about that. We worry about our kids, we worry about our grandkids, we worry about our family, we worry about everything. And what did Jesus tell us on the Sermon on the Mount? Do not be anxious for your life. Why? Well, a lot of reasons why. But here's one right here out of Romans chapter 8. God loves you. Yeah. And He knows you're worth a whole lot more than sparrows. He knows you know a whole lot more than the birds of the air, the lilies of the field. But yet, sometimes we worry about life. Truly, God loves us. You shouldn't worry about life. He mentions powers and principalities, things that can change our lives without our approval. Sometimes the government changes our lives without our approval. Sometimes our boss and our companies change our life without our approval, like losing a job or having to take another one. We didn't want to do that. We got powers and principalities that are just kind of dictating us in a lot of ways, and that can cause us to worry. I'm here to tell you, God loves you through that. So next time you get worried, next time life throws you a curveball, and remember that God still loves you. He's there to help you. He says that neither height nor depth, in height, in times of success, in fortune, God still loves you. And I think that's so fascinating, because a lot of times we got things going our way and we're on a roll and life is good and we have all these successes. What do? Forget God. Wow, I'm great. Wow, I'm good. I got all this going for me. Why do I need God? And God's still loving you through all of that, even though you've forgotten Him. And Paul says, in depth, in times of depression, in times of despair, in bad times, when we really wonder, where in the world is God at? I'll tell you where He's at. He's on His throne, and He's loving you. That's right. I don't understand why He lets these things happen, but I do know one thing. He loves us. And Jesus, his son, has told me not to worry about it. And so Paul says, I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, or things present, or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, or any created thing, things future, things in the past, things present. We worry about all that stuff, don't we? We worry about the future. Sometimes we're so guilt-ridden, we just worry about the past, although we can't undo it, and we spend every day worrying about both of them. Wow. We don't need to worry about all that, because none of that, none of those things can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. I don't know what's going on in your life right now. I hope it's good. I hope you're just smooth sailing, but I got a feeling that it's not always smooth sailing. That there's some ups and downs, there's some problems, there's some hang-ups, there's some difficulties, there's some things that you're concerned about. All right, good. Let's join a group. But let's remember one thing this morning throughout it all, as bad as we might think it's going to get. None of it can separate you from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Hang in there. Romans 8:28, still in the Bible, where Paul there said, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. I don't know how he's going to work it out, but he'll work it out. Because I know that he loves me. I know that he loves you. What can separate us from the love of God? Absolutely nothing, because God is the greatest lover of all time. I want you to give your life, if you haven't done so, to the greatest lover of all time, who has loved you from your very conception and truly continues to love you intensely to this day, so much so that he's already sent Jesus to come and die, and Jesus shed his blood that you can have the forgiveness of your sins and go to heaven and be with him eternally. Do you need to give your life to this great lover, to this God who loves you no matter what? If you do, come now while we stand and while we